The scripture lesson this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. I invite you to hear this word of the Lord, this gospel message, this Easter proclamation of an empty tomb. Hear this word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been wrapped on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene then went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This, sisters and brothers, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Easter story from John's Gospel starts with a scene that I think John actually wants us to kind of smile and chuckle to ourselves about. Now, John may not be the best comedy writer in the world, but I really do think that he wants us to have joy at this scene. A scene in which people seem to be running around all Jerusalem trying to figure out what in the world is happening. Mary runs back and forth from the tomb in the middle of the morning dawn. Then we get this kind of comedic scene about her telling that there's a crime that's taken place. Someone's stolen the body of Jesus. And then Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, which we believed to be John himself, they take off running. John even takes a moment in his gospel message to kind of poke fun at Peter, his friend, telling us, I outran him, and I got to the tomb first. It's a scene in which everyone seems to be kind of running around, not quite sure what's going on. The scene seems to be chaotic and uncertain. And even though John wins the foot race, he decides just to stand there. And Peter, who's never been one for any kind of self-control, just barrels right on in. And in this moment, we're meant to wonder with the disciples, what in the world does any of this mean? It would be funny if it also weren't so very sad. Because lest we forget, this is a graveyard. This is a tomb. This is a place of death. And the morning stillness is interrupted by all of these people running around all Jerusalem, frantic, uncertain, because their best friend's body is missing. And they have been taught to believe that dead people are supposed to stay where you put them. But Jesus is missing. Now, I know that you know the rest of the story, but just for a moment, stay right there with Mary and Peter and John. And with a fresh look, think about what they must have been thinking, how they're trying to figure out what's happening. Imagine them out of breath, without breakfast, looking at an empty tomb where they had placed the body of Jesus. Think about what graves and tombs represent. They represent death. But this tomb is missing something. Missing not just a body, but missing any sign of death. The linen clothes that they had wrapped him in are folded neatly, as if Jesus had gotten up and made his bed. Nothing of this looks normal. Nothing of this looks like it's supposed to. Peter and John can't even make sense of it, so they do the best thing they know how to do. They run back home. And so now Mary is left alone again to try and make sense of this senseless scene. And so then she does the only thing that makes any sense to her. She begins to cry, weeping. And I imagine in my mind's eye what I would do. Perhaps Mary standing there crying, maybe she repeats over and over to herself, dead people are supposed to stay where you put them. Dead people are supposed to stay where you put them. And then after a few moments, we don't know how long, Mary collects herself and works up the nerve to look inside. I don't know what she's looking for. Maybe she's looking for a clue. Maybe she just wants to verify for herself that her eyes aren't playing tricks on her. Or maybe she's hoping that it was all some sort of bad dream, and And the next time she looks in, he's going to be right there where they left him. But instead of the dead body, she sees two men sitting, one at the head and one of the foot of the slab. Now, I am amazed at Mary, because if I had looked in and seen that, I would have screamed and run off with Peter and John. But that's why Mary's the strong disciple in this moment. Because she looks at this scene and simply asks, "Do you know where they have put the body of my Lord?" See, Mary has come face to face with people that are either angels or grave robbers. And her question is about Jesus. Do you know where his body is? Because remember, Mary believes that dead people stay where you put them. So she asked the men, "Where have you put the body?" Even in this moment of uncertainty and confusion and grief, she still wants to take care of Jesus, because he had taken such good care of her. Now, I know what happens next, but before we get there, I think John wants to teach us something important about life in this moment. I love John's telling of the story, because his is the longest version of that moment. It's like John wants to just draw out what it must have felt like for Mary to experience this moment. That moment between the empty tomb and the appearance of the mistaken gardener, where time itself seems to be meaningless. It's a time that's marked by confusion. Mary doesn't really understand what's happening. It's a moment marked by disbelief. Mary can't even recognize Jesus when he appears to her the first moment. And of course, it is a time marked by weeping, as Mary weeps for this tragedy, this sense that we've lost Jesus a second time. And the reason I think John wants us to stay in that moment for longer than we'd like to is because that's actually a lot like our life right now, isn't it? The tomb is empty, but we don't fully understand what that means. The tomb is empty, but death still seems to be in control of this world. The tomb is empty, but we still cry when we lose those that we love. The tomb is empty, but we still believe that dead people are supposed to stay where you put them. And it is in that very moment, that very time of uncertainty and confusion and weeping and disbelief, it's that moment when Jesus shows up. Mary spins around. She hears her name called and realizes that Jesus has been there the whole time. The empty tomb declares that Jesus is always with us. You see, we, We think the empty tomb means something's missing. But rather, the empty tomb means that Jesus is always with us. In our confusion, Jesus is with us. In our doubt, Jesus is with us. In our tears, Jesus is with us. In our death, Jesus is with us. Because Easter morning declares some really good news. That contrary to popular opinion, dead people don't stay where you put them. In Christ, the dead get back up. They don't stay where you put them. And that's not even the end of the Easter story. John keeps on telling a story where Mary goes back to her brothers, to the disciples, and she gets to proclaim to them the very first Easter sermon that Jesus is alive and that she has seen him face to face. You see, Mary and the other women, they've been doing all the hard work of Holy Week. The disciples have been running for their lives. And I imagine Mary would be justified to say, you know what, let them figure it out on their own. But Jesus points Mary back to community, back to the people, back to her brothers who need to hear the good news. She's invited to go with them and to bring them into a new relationship, to proclaim to them that Jesus is preparing to ascend to the Father. Mary is told to invite everyone to hear this good news and to begin to tell the story to others. This is too good to keep to herself, too good to keep just to the disciples. This is a message that the world needs to hear, a message that dead people don't stay where you put them anymore. This message, this news that Jesus is alive, changes everything. Now, maybe this morning, you've gathered here in the middle of an uncertain time in your life. Maybe you've gathered here in a confusing time in your life. Maybe you've come this morning in the most difficult time of your life, where everything that you thought you knew, all the sense this world used to make, none of it seems to be working out like you thought it would be. Maybe you find yourself this morning a bit like Mary, where you want to believe, but you can't seem to make it all fit together with what's happening in your life. Maybe like Mary, you woke up this morning and all you really felt like doing was crying. We can find ourselves in those moments of our life, uncertain about the future. So why did you come here this morning? Why are you here? Now, I know the answer for some of you is because it's Sunday morning, and I'm here every Sunday morning. You open the door, I'm here. I'm glad you're here. You wouldn't be anywhere else. This is home. This is family. Maybe this morning you're here because, well, it makes your grandmother happy. And in order to go to Easter lunch at her house, you have to come to church first. That's okay. I know some of us would rather be back at home with a cup of coffee, a good book, maybe a plate of cinnamon rolls. It's okay. Because all of us come to moments like this with mixed motives and mixed emotions and mixed feelings. We want to believe that this is true and this is good. And sometimes we wonder, but Ricky, when I look at the world around me, it doesn't exactly look like the vision of a world resurrected. Believe me, I get it. I know that sometimes the world doesn't make sense. And I think that's kind of the point of John's story. John doesn't hide Mary's grief. John doesn't hide the disciples' uncertainty. John doesn't hide the pain and the confusion and the worry of Easter morning. John doesn't sugarcoat any of it. He tells the truth. That even though Jesus had told him he would live again, they didn't believe him. They showed up expecting to find a dead body exactly where they put it 3 days before. But on Easter morning, we come and we gather around an empty tomb. And John wants us to know and believe and then to tell the world that through confusion, doubt, uncertainty, even our tears of pain, that will all give way to tears of joy when one day each of us can hear our name called and turn and see the face of Jesus. That is the gift of this morning. That is the promise of the empty tomb. That is the story that John told and wants each of us to tell the world around us. This is the gospel message. That Jesus is alive. And then we get to tell the world the really good news. That in Jesus, dead people don't stay where you put them. Let's pray. Almighty God, we have gathered here this morning to celebrate, to praise, to worship, to give thanks, to be reminded that one morning, quite unexpectedly, the tomb was empty. That you had defeated death itself. That you had defeated all the pain, all the suffering. That we no longer had to be bound by the sin that leads to eternal separation. But that rather in you we could have new life. We praise you. We thank you, we honor you this morning. But Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us so that we would not keep the message just to ourselves, but that like Mary, we would go to our closest friends, our family, our co-workers, anyone whom we meet to tell him the good news that the dead in Christ can rise just like him. That we no longer have to fear death. That we no longer have to fear the grave. That you have already won. And that good news makes life worth living. Thank you, God, for this gift of everlasting life in Jesus. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.